For the first time in nearly 9 months, the residents of Kherson woke to the sights and sounds of a city restored to life. This is Svobody Square in the centre. The word means freedom, and with it comes joy and laughter. It's not peacetime as such, but for as long as possible, they'll pretend it is. The Russian army has merely retreated to the east side of the Dnipro River, easily in artillery range. As they withdrew, the Russians destroyed critical infrastructure, the TV tower, bridges over the Dnipro, including this one near the Kakhovka Dam, causing significant damage to parts of the dam wall. And satellite imagery shows the damaged Antonivsky Bridge, the main crossing from west to east. Russia announced that it had completed an orderly withdrawal on Friday morning. But the evidence suggests it was anything but. Some units were forced to flee across temporary pontoons under heavy Ukrainian fire. There were reports of drownings. Another is said to have been ordered to dress in civilian clothes and escape by any means available. And large quantities of military hardware, weapons and munitions were abandoned, along with reports of Russian dead and wounded. Ukraine's president hailed a stunning victory.
The people of Kherson waited. They never gave up on Ukraine. They were right to pin their hopes on Ukraine. And Ukraine always returns its own.
For Russia, it was the latest in a series of battlefield defeats, and all the more humiliating coming just 6 weeks after Kherson was formally annexed by Moscow. A city that resisted the occupation when it began on March the 2nd, until that resistance proved futile. A city that was so recently proclaimed Russian forever by Vladimir Putin has proven itself in scenes of euphoria that won't end anytime soon to be Ukrainian to its core. Jonah Hull, Al Jazeera.
Well, Mohammed Val is standing by for us in Moscow. But first, let's go to Assad Beg in Kryvyi Rih in central Ukraine. And Assad, what's the latest in Kherson City? Can you just bring us up to date there?
Well, you understand that the city is still without electricity. There's been damage to the infrastructure there, but the main electricity provider here has said it will take approximately 30 days to restore electricity. We also understand that there are humanitarian organizations taking in food and water for the people there. Remember, there's been a battle taking place and there were accusations that the Russians were destroying infrastructure as they withdrew. Now, as you heard from that report, the situation still remains the same pretty much in terms of the damage to the Antonovsky Bridge and Kakhovka Dam, and the Ukrainians will want to look at that. But also the Russians have announced a new temporary, as they call it, capital for the Kherson region. They're saying they're moving that to Hanichesk. They're saying that it was temporary, I assume, because they feel they will retake this land. But there is that river between Ukrainian troops and Russian troops, but they're still within striking distance. The Russians are able to use the artillery to still hit Kherson. But at least for now, as you saw in that report, people are happy and they've been welcoming Ukrainian troops.
OK, Assad Beg for us in Kryvyi Rih. Thank you very much for that update. Well, let's go to Mohammed Val, who is in Moscow for us. And as we saw there, Mohammed, Ukrainians celebrating a major victory. Have there been any comments so far from the Russian leadership?
Right, Cyril, the comment that we have today is from Dmitry Medvedev, former president of Russia, and also he's the second most powerful man in the country, as he is the vice chairman of the National Security Council, which is presided by Putin himself. So Medvedev basically said that in the difficult circumstances, in front of these difficult military decisions. So that's a reference, an indirect mention of what happened in Kherson, the withdrawal of the Russian troops. He did not mention Kherson. He did not mention Ukraine. But he used those words, saying that we have to remember what happened this year, the achievements of the Russian Federation this year, talking about a long tally of results, including the protection of the Russian citizens, I think that's an allusion to the people of Donetsk and Lugansk and the other areas which Russia claim to be Russian. The protection of those citizens and the restoration of Russian land, also a reference to the annexation of those territories that Russia has put under its control this year. He said Russia is fighting alone against NATO and the combined Western might in order to create a more just and more fair international order. And that's a task, a mission that only Russia can do. Only Russia can destroy such a powerful enemy and create such a just world. I'm paraphrasing his words here. So he went on talking about the grand scheme that is ahead of this mission for Russia, alluding to the necessity for the Russians not to look at temporary situations, and saying that Russia is looking for safety for its citizens. Russia is trying to create a just world. And Russia has not used its might. It hasn't used all its arsenals. And it is choosing carefully where to strike, trying to avoid places where there are concentrations of civilians. Still, I'm paraphrasing what he said. But everything has its time, and the things will happen, things that the Russians desire will happen when they unite, when they maintain their unity, and when they work hard for those results.
Okay, Mohammed Val for us in Moscow. Thank you very much for that update.